Indeed, Lord, it is a privilege tonight that from the depths of our hearts, Lord, with the vibrations of our faith to the Word, we can truly say we are the sons and the daughters of God. And Father, to be in the comfort, Lord, of such a calling, we are the most privileged people, Lord, tonight. And again, to hear every moment, Father, from Thee, as You address us, Lord, to prepare our hearts to that moment where we'll say, the Scripture would finally say, the Spirit and the Bride has made herself ready. They say, come. Father, Lord, we are banking on that Spirit. There is never a work that has been done and accomplished without Your Spirit, Lord. And if we determine, Father, tonight to do anything outside of Your will and outside of the leadership of Your Spirit, Lord, it would amount to nothing, Lord. Therefore, Lord, I'm asking You, Father, by Your grace, that You may indeed give us again more of that grace to be led by Your Spirit, Lord. And may You help us that we may open up the doors inside, the open door, Lord. There is an open door set before us, but there are closed doors within our hearts. I am praying that You may help us to open them up, inasmuch as we do believe that even the singing of the songs has already opened the wombs of our hearts and our souls to receive Thy word. I am praying, Heavenly Father, that the Holy Ghost may have such a preeminence, Lord, that if there be some that are crying out to Thee, they can be heard tonight. Yes. And if there be some, Lord, that have a longing in their hearts, You may come, Lord, and truly finish up that longing, Lord. And if there be anyone with a desire, Lord, buried deep inside of their soul, oh God, may it be granted tonight. Hallelujah. Father, I'm standing here as a mortal man like the rest of all the believers, Lord. And there is nothing within me, Lord, Father, that can be of much help even to myself, Father. For seeing that in many times we falter and fail, we cannot help ourselves, Lord. I will not be able to help Your children, Lord, tonight. Therefore, I'm presenting myself before You, God, that Your grace may be sufficient for each and every one of us. May Your love continue to vibrate in our midst, Lord, as we know that by this love shall all men know that we are Your people and we are Your disciples. Almighty God, it is what You said and it is what we have to do, for it is a commandment within and without. We ask that, Lord, tonight, by the reading of the word, we may have a revelation open to us. As we read the word, may You bless it and sanctify our hearts to receive it. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father, I'm committing even the rest of the acts that will proceed thereon, Father, that Your Holy Ghost may be in the leadership of everything. I'm asking that You may even be with our pastor who's not here, attending a funeral, Almighty God. Oh, Lord God, they need You, Father. May You indeed be their comfort in this bereaving time. Lord, when they come back, they may say, it has been done well by the Lord Himself. It has been good that He has been with us. Father, this is our testimony all day long, to speak about You, Lord. We commit all things indeed unto You. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. I pass my greetings to all of you, the saints of the living God. I'm greeting you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's such a privilege to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I normally fellowship with the brothers that if there be anything that I would determine to do, I would want to do everything as a Christian. Amen. I would want to accomplish everything as a believer. Amen. Because there's people that are rising up as preachers, and they are not Christians, and they are amounting to nothing. Their preaching is in vain. They are only waiting for the Lord to say, depart from me, I never knew you. And they will have a testimony to say, but we did so many things. They never did all those things as Christians. That is why he never knew them. Because he says, my sheep know my voice, and I know them by name. They will not follow any other man, but they will follow me. So there is where everything starts. So if I'm going to have something to say to the brothers in a manner that maybe we can say it's going to be a sermon, I think I'll just say I will be doing my part as a believer. Amen. And I don't, if there be any errors, anything that I'll say that is out of character, you should pray for me. Amen. I don't intentionally say things so that I can offend a brother. Because ministries are different. There's times when we came to certain people and then we asked them to do certain things. It was very difficult, but they are churches now. So if you had watched us do what we did that time, you'd say these men are real rascals. They don't know what they are doing with the gospel. So sometimes it comes in that fashion. Amen. A brother might say a thing, but if the love of God is inside of my heart, I wouldn't intentionally say something to cause harm to a brother. Neither would I expect a brother to say the same thing to me. So sometimes we have to remember in our hearts that God loves the sinner, but he hates sin. Amen. So some of us that are sometimes meant to deal with the sin head on, I might happen to hit the brother with the sin together. Amen. So that I can separate my brother from the sin. Amen. So you have to understand the nitty-gritties of it. Amen. I'm not trying to make myself clever, man. Amen. But I'm just saying something that is true. Amen. I cannot be like Brother Mpanyana. Last time when he preached, the fellowship took me out of heaven. When I went out, I'm greeting the brothers. Now I'm coming back. I was in heavenly places, I'm telling you. I felt like I could move mountains. Amen. Just to know that I possess the unseen. I possess the unseen God. Hey, brothers. It did something to me. I want to say thank you, Brother Mpanyana, for that sermon of the supernatural. From that time, I've been feasting. Until the time of the communion, I saw the brothers were failing to go home. I said, it must always be like this. Amen. Like we belong to church. Amen. And when we come to church, we don't want to go anymore. That's the way I wish it should be. Amen. Then, without taking much time, let's open our Bibles. We are going to read a lot of scriptures. So that if I will be guilty even before the throne of God, I will say, this is what I preached. I will point to certain scriptures. If I will be condemned, I will be condemned together with certain scriptures. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Isaiah 45. I want to read two scriptures. I've got five scriptures to read. So I'm going to read two, then we sit down, then I will continue reading as you listen and as God helps us. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 45. I wanted to follow up on the thought that the pastor brought some other time. I tried to follow it up. It was running away from me every time. I thought I'm almost close until I left it like that. Then I had to dwell on something different. Isaiah 45. Are we all there? Amen. We are going to turn to verse 17. Verse 17. But Israel be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it, He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Amen. If there was someone who still believes there's three gods, there's your scripture. Go and look at it. He himself is saying, I am the Lord, and there is none else. Amen. If you are still worshipping three gods, or you still have got your Aman Shawzi, you are still lost. Everything else that is outside of this scripture is of the devil. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from an ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? If not I, the Lord, and there is no God else beside me, there it goes. A just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. Amen. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Amen. We are going to turn to Isaiah 46 from verse 9. I will just read 9 and 10. It's just next to the same chapter that we've been reading. I don't think you need to flip your pages that much. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God, there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Amen. You can take the comfort of your seats. As you continue to turn your Bibles, let's turn again to John chapter 19. St. John, there's the letters of John. We are in the Gospels. St. John. St. John, chapter 19. Turn with me to 19, verse 28. Amen. Amen. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He bowed his head, gave up the ghost. Let's open again our Bibles to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. I like that part where he had accomplished all things. There was just one scripture that was supposed to be fulfilled whilst he was still hanging on the cross. He found no way to do it. He said, I thirst. Because there is a scripture in the book of Isaiah that they gave him vinegar to drink. Then he saw that I have to be given the vinegar. So he had to request the vinegar. They could have brought him some water. Why they gave him vinegar? Because it was a scripture that was crying out to say, my portion is not yet done. But he had accomplished all things, save one scripture. Then he said, I thirst. Then they looked around. They thought the best water to give him is vinegar. So they gave him vinegar. Then after he had taken the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And when he said, it is finished, you were not yet born, brother. That is where my sermon is. When he said, it is finished, you were not yet born. I was not yet born. My father, my mother was not yet born. But he said, it is finished. Was he talking to this very particular scripture or he was talking to something else? Amen. Amen. The reason we have to preach certain things like this is because the devil comes in your house and he begins to teach you to do things in a certain way. Until you get accustomed with the things that you are not supposed to do. Until you finally find yourself disadvantaged of the things that you must be a beneficiary of. And until you cannot come back to restore yourself back to the position where you can claim those things. Amen. And then the devil watches you cry every day. But we have to remember that it was finished. Eh? It was finished. I think if the devil can come tonight and tell me other stories, I'll tell him, Papa, it's finished.
Yes.
Amen. I don't have to quote, it is written, it is written. That was a fight. Today we don't have to fight. He was a conqueror, the mighty conqueror. We are more than conquerors.
Yes.
So if you are more than conqueror, you are a victor.
Yes.
And if you are a victor, then the battle is won.
Yes.
You need not to fight when the fight is over.
Yes.
So you must just remind your opponent that it is over.
Yes.
You are defeated.
Yes.
And if you remember very well, if you were there in heaven, the prophet says we are going back to heaven. We were in heaven, we are going back to heaven.
Yes.
So you must just remind him that we defeated you in heaven. You are defeated here right now as I'm talking. Because it was finished at Calvary. And the prophet came and preached a message that day on Calvary. How many have read that message or listened to it? I see only two hands. You don't even want to attach yourself to that day. I'm challenging you to go and read that message. That day on Calvary. Revelation chapter 19. Verse 7 to 10. Let us be glad and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. This thing John was shown this in a vision. But you are still here in Emalahleni. When God is looking at you, he's looking at a perfect church. Don't worry about your weaknesses. They won't override God. The good part is he has already spoken about the perfection. So he can't perfect an already perfect thing. So your weaknesses are a true identity of what is being perfected. Amen. So now you must not let the devil tell you about your weaknesses. Because you need those weaknesses to be perfected. Amen. You must not even look down upon your brother because it's what a weakness. Because you are looking down upon his perfection. Or else he needed not to be perfected. Amen. Okay, fine. Let's read on. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant. And of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. When was this time that John was seeing all these things? It was well after Christ had ascended into heaven. Then they had a church at Ephesus. They took him to the island of Patmos. They did all those things, rolled him in a drum of oil and boiled him and put spikes and tried to kill him. But that man started seeing those visions and wrote this book.
He was already writing about us. Amen. So what it means is, in the eyes of God, what we are now is past tense. So my title for my message, before I continue with my scriptures, the past tense of future events. Because this is where the devil is tricking us a lot. He's making present tense the past tense. This is why Brother Abraham, most of the times he's preaching, he says, don't look at your symptoms. They are not real. Your symptoms are not real. They are testifying of a thing that has already been accomplished. So what you have to look at is the result of the accomplishment. Then remind the symptoms that, mind you, before I came here, I didn't even have a cancer. I asked another sister one day before I prayed for her, she was sick. I said, sister, if you can declare to me, because I see you are doubting what I am reading the scriptures and you are doubting, I want you to declare to me where that sickness was before you were born. Because you can't tell me that you had the sickness in your mother's womb for 9 months and then you were just born with it. It's different with that guy that was born blind. It's different. If, brother, you have a sickness that is with you now, and you caught up with it at a later stage in your life, after maybe 5 years or 10 years or 15 years, or maybe when you were in your late 20s, you find out that, hey, I've got an asthmatic condition here. This thing has not been there all along. You must ask yourself where that thing was. Brother Abraham says, all the sicknesses and all the diseases that we have, they give them nice names, but they are demons. Now, because we don't want to agree that asthma is a demon, you go to the doctor and he will give you that inhaler so that you get accustomed to a demon. But if that demon was going to be given clothes like I'm wearing now and intrude into your home, open your door and say, I'm going to stay with you, you are going to refuse. But if it comes and stays in your body, you go and get an inhaler and quench it a little bit here and there. I want to read my scriptures and then get to something. We are talking about the past tense of future events. Luke chapter 19. We were already blessed by coming to the marriage of the Lamb before we even came. So in the eyes of God, it was already past tense. It is still past tense. If you can just read between the lines, then there's no demon can challenge you of whatever form. Luke chapter 19. Are we there? I'm the one who's battling to find it. Okay, I'll get there. Don't worry. Luke chapter 19. I want to read from verse 28. It's a lengthy portion of scripture. There's something that I want you to look at from there. And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. That's a commandment. No negotiations. You find this colt tied to a tree or somewhere on a pole. Loose him. Bring him hither. The master wants to use him. And if any man ask you, it looks like it's a supposition. He's telling them exactly what is going to happen. In this very instant, Jesus was looking at a thing that has already happened. Because he's telling them there's going to be a man that will ask you. So it's not going to be maybe we'll find the man or we might not find him. He has already seen the man. And he knows what he's going to ask. And he has given them an answer. So they are going to fetch a colt tied to a pole.
And the owner is standing by it, and he's going to ask. And the words that are going to come out of his mouth, it's not like the Lord put the words in his mouth. He was the owner of the court. He would not let any man lose him without his authority. So what he did, he had to ask them, why are you loosening him? Where are you taking him to? They said, the master had need of him. That was the answer that they were given. And he let them go. See how powerful those words were. Until it could override the authority of the man that knows this is my court and is going. What if these men were thieves? What if it was you? Were you going to allow these men to say, you can take it? You don't even know the Lord they are talking about. You don't even know the master that they are referring to. But because Jesus knew that there is power in his word, he spoke what answer they should give to this man. Once you give that answer, as long as it's coming from the Lord, even if it's the devil, you will own up to that. The devil will remind you of the things that you have failed. But he will never remind you of the things you have accomplished. And he will never even give you clue to the things that you are capable of doing. So my homework every day is to look at my potentials. What am I capable of doing? As it rises and as it sets, I'm looking at what I'm capable of doing. Because every time I've got an enemy that reminds me of what I failed every day. Yeah. If he says you failed, I say, no, but I was not even paying much attention. I'm paying attention to this one now. Yeah. Keep him confused every time. Amen. Yeah. Whatever you are going through, brother or sister, in the eyes of God, is past tense. Real past tense. It just matters if you treat it as past tense. Okay. And if any man ask you, why do you lose him? Thus shall ye say unto him. Now it shows that is not a supposition. There is a man that is waiting for them. Because the Lord hath need of him. And they went, and they that went, that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owner thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. The Bible said we must not add or subtract. They just repeated exactly the answer that they were given. They never tried to explain to the men to say, you know what, actually what is happening, the master wants to go to Jerusalem. So, you know, there's going to be a very big campaign there in Jerusalem, trying to calm down this man. They just said, the Lord has need of him. Amen. There's many preachers now, even in the message, that are looking at quotations. They are leaving those quotations, trying to explain them to the people. They are looking at scriptures, bringing what they think is true to the church, with their explanations with it. It will never help us. But thank God, he has to be that very God that fulfills his word. Amen. Brother Branham says he's obligated to fulfill his word. There's going to be one or two people that will hold on to the truth. And he will fulfill that one. And the faith of the people will make sure that God is obligated to attach himself to the word. If he could attach himself to a scripture that made him go to Calvary, because it was a prophet that said he would be nailed on Calvary, he could not bypass it. If there was a scripture that said he was going to drink the vinegar, he had to tell them, I'm thirsty. Bring the vinegar, it's time for the vinegar. Because I'm accomplishing something here. After the vinegar was given, then he gave up the ghost and he said, it is finished. I think the people that were standing next to Golgotha and to the other cross, there was a cross here and a cross here, and they were crying, Mary Magdalene and the rest of the disciples. I think they were wondering, what is finished now? Is it the thirst that is finished? Or what is finished now? I want you to understand what was finished. Because it will help you. And you must tell the devil. After I'm done with this sermon, you must tell your old friend, devil. No, this is not the time for believers to be crying. You can only cry when you don't know yourself. You are a bastard child. You came in otherwise. So you are not the real child of the very homestead we are talking about. You are not from heaven, so you won't understand the heavenly language. If we speak in heavenly language and you understand it, you will deliberate the same information to the devil. You can't expect an ambassador of South Africa in America to say, no, let me go and consult them and ask them what I will. Before he leaves, he's got a package of what these issues like this, you address them like this. When you get there, he's prepared before he goes. We are not just ambassadors, Brother Mpanyana. We are trusted ambassadors of heaven. The heaven saw it fit for you to be sitting right there where you are sitting and believing the message of the hour. There's no doubt about that. Everyone else that you see not believing this message, they were seen well before the foundation of the world, failing to believe. God's foreknowledge saw it and predestinated. Predestination simply means he just said, let it be as according to their choices. That is why he said, don't go and reap now. Leave them to grow together. The wild seed that was put by the enemy and my seed that, how can you be, you know, we do a lot of weeding. We've got herbicides. If I've got a farm, I will never let the weeds grow next to my farm. Not even out of the farm. Outside there, I will put herbicides there. Make it clean. So that I want my corn to grow nice. But God said, let them grow together. That's the difference with the field that God has put us in. If it means blessings, brother, what? The blessings of God are not going to come without affliction. The Bible promised it. He said, it must needs be that persecutions should come. It must needs be that afflictions should come. But who unto him that bringeth forth the afflictions to the believers? And he said, fear ye not, little flock. It is your Father's good will to give you the kingdom. Yes, but you are fearing because there is a persecution. You are fearing because there is an affliction. You are fearing because there is a problem and a trouble in the home. Fear you not, little flock. Yes, I remember one time when they were deep in the sea. They thought, now I don't think they must all get another ship to cross over here. He just made a shortcut. He was looking, their way over yonder there. He just crossed over the water. Peter is thinking, now there is a ghost. He said, fear not. Be not afraid. It is I. Right in the midst of the sea, right when the waves are raging, he will tell you, fear not, little flock. That is why when he's looking at your victory, he's not trying to think about your victory. He has already secured the victory for you. Because when you are fighting, you don't fight alone. He will tell you, behold, I'm here. Fear ye not, little flock. Amen. There's no battle that can be so enjoyable to fight with the Lord next to you. Amen. One time I shared a pulpit with a Zionist. He was a Mfundis. I preached for 1 hour. I said, Mfundis, we are sharing the whole night. It was a funeral. I said, can you come and take over? He bowed down. He said, there was something happening there. I was hitting these devils right, left, right, and center. And they said, no, you must not fear for me. Without me knowing, the people were talking, tell this guy to keep quiet. Because here, another apostle was hit by these things that he's trying to talk about. Tell him first before they deal with him. Now the sisters were whispering. They said, no, if he's talking like that, he knows where he's standing. They were replying in the congregation. So I just quoted spiritually without knowing what is happening. I said, no. You know, when I start talking like this, I've got a 200-pound man standing next to me, folding his hands, watching this drama of what I'm doing here. Amen. Without knowing what is happening in the congregation. Because another apostle was hit by the goblins and ran away. You cannot come to this warfare and dilly-dally and think that it's time to act like sisters in the kitchen. No. It's not kitchen time. Brothers, we have to brace up and pull up the socks. Tell the devil what he is. Because he thinks we don't know. In the message, possessing all things, Brother Branham says, we are fighting a defeated enemy.
Oh, brother. How I get so much delighted. I'm just reading a spoken word. I've got a problem in the home. Then I come across this problem is coming from the devil. Then the message is telling me the enemy I'm fighting is defeated. What must I tell the devil when I leave this spoken word? Hey, Mr. Devil, you know what? Whatever you are doing here, you are defeated. From today, when I see you around here, I will tell you what I have read just now. And I'll go and read again to refresh my mind so that I won't forget and tell you again. You are defeated here in this whole thing. I remember one time they wanted to chase me from work. And everyone was whispering to me, hey, they are telling us it's going to be an instant dismissal. I said, yeah, these are just words. But you have never asked me what I'm saying about the whole thing. I'm worried about what I'm going to say because once I start talking is when the whole thing is going to unfold. All the managers, six of them, personal manager, risk manager, HR manager, it was just managers. Ah, this guy, we are just going to, it's just going to be a formality to have a hearing. 6 o'clock, I was in the boardroom praying. And I had an all-night prayer. In the all-night prayer, I had a letter that they'd written that they are going to take a hearing. I was inviting God in that all-night prayer. I said, Lord, if I go alone and there are 6 managers against 1 apprentice, I'm just learning. I don't know nothing. And they want to fire me. I had already consulted even with the ministry. They said, no, if you're an apprentice, you cannot be fired. Because they can only change a training ground. You cannot fire someone who's on training. You don't know nothing. Even if I break, there's actually a limit of the things that I'm allowed to break. Still, I'm still in the learning process. So when I went there, I had enough information. When they said, do you have something to say about yourself? I said, I want someone that knows better than me, what the word apprentice means. Then they started looking at each other. Nobody gave me an answer. But do you know? I said, no, I want to know because I am an apprentice, but it looks like I've lost the dignity of my title. So I want someone to explain to me what it means to be an apprentice. By that time, I said, God, even before I go to the hearing, can you repeat what you did before to Hezekiah when he brought a letter to you? You fought these battles. I want you to fight this one. When they came for the hearing, it was because I had an accident as an apprentice with a company car. And a manager who asked me to fix it, he refused. He said, no, I never gave him the keys. So I was left alone. I said, okay, God is going to be my defense. They all came to the hearing without cars. The whole afternoon before the following morning of the hearing, I was busy towing their cars. Right off, you hit in front, someone hits you in the back, hit in front, and I was busy towing them, wrecking them to the workshop. If it was some of you believers that they've got a banana backbone, like the prophet said. And when they tell you it's going to be an instant dismissal, you start looking at your certificates now. Which one am I going to be using? I think now if they fire me, maybe I will start using this one. I replied to my friends, I said, I'm not going anywhere. This is a finished battle. I delight tonight to know that we are fighting with the enemy that is already defeated. What does an enemy that is defeated do? He throws his weapons down and raises his hands up. Amen. Now when he's coming to you with raised hands, you are also raising your hands and surrendering. You are copying the notes of the devil. One thing that you have to know as believers, demons were manufactured with a quality to be under your foot. Otherwise, there shouldn't be a scripture that said you must tread upon serpents and scorpions. Something that you must be able to tread upon must be something that fits under your foot. But you find it over your head. Then you must stand head up, head down and toes up. At least maybe if it sits on the foot, maybe you might say I'm stepping on it. But opposite. Brother Branham in the message conference says, there is where they made a mistake. That is what the church normally does. They stand still and watch the enemy. Yeah. When they stood right there by the sea, Moses was just supposed to speak to the sea to open way and keep going forward. He says you must keep going forward. You start watching the devil. Because the devil wants attention. He wants attention. This is what I'm going to tell you. And these things are very gloomy. Yeah? They are shiny. But as one says, the world glitters, but the gospel glows. Yes,
amen.
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 And something that glows has come out of the fire.
Amen.
You shall receive 100-fold of all these blessings together with persecutions. When the brothers are being blessed with a house and a car, they enjoy. But just a little persecution come in, they are already holding their heads like this and crying. It must come together. It's twins. Because the other one is meant for you to fight. Otherwise, you might relax in your car and, you know, house and sleep and forget that you are going to heaven. So we leave some thorns in the nest. Time after time, you must be pricked and then wake up. Amen. Let me not go beyond myself. I want to read this quotation. Making a way. Amen. The message, making a way, let me tell you when it was preached, so that maybe if you want to go to, it was preached 1956 on the 3rd of March, on the 4th of March. I think so. On the 4th of March, 1956, from paragraph 75 to 79. Let's hope we'll take it from there and finish. God, before the foundation of the world, said that Christ would be here, and he would slay, die, the innocent for the guilty, which means we are going to be guilty. Before you came to this world, God knew that you are going to be guilty. So he already foreseen it that he had to have Christ in place for you. The innocent for the guilty. Now the innocent has already died, and the guilty remains guilty. Huh? Is the innocent dying for the guilty, but the guilty remains guilty? You are fighting a defeated enemy. You are defeated by a defeated enemy. The one that really knows inside his heart, but hey, I have already lost this battle, but I'm just trying. I'm taking chances. I'm taking chances now. But there's nothing I can do. I'm going to help, but let me try again. Then you must tell him, you must stand there by the door and tell him, hey, Mr. Devil, you are trying to do something. Oh, he knows I'm trying. Tap of fear on him. Before you even start fighting with him, he knows I'm trying. What are you trying to do here? Some believers can't even ask the devil what he's trying to do. It's actually the devil asking the believers, what are you trying to do here? Then the brother starts doing like this. No, I was just passing by. I'm not part of this. Ow. Because brother, there's going to be a boycott come someday. There's never been a day that the church of God has been on this world and there's never a persecution. Brother Abraham says, and that persecution is coming someday, one day. You think it's going to be a persecution where they say, we won't give you water today? They will ask you, who are these message believers? They call themselves message believers. Where are they? Who knows their congregation? They say there's another one they call Lighthouse. They've got spoken words there. That's the clue. They've spoken words. They've got a picture of Branham at the back. You won't get lost there. Some of you will deny that this church I was just visiting, it was only today when I was here. Some of us will do like Polycarp, say, at least my enemies won't struggle to look for me. Let me go in. Instead of hiding, he said, let me go and avail myself so that they won't get trouble looking for me. Bold men, who knows what they are believing. Polycarp said, I don't want my enemies to be troubled. He loved them so much not to be troubled. I'm going to unveil and avail myself and show them I'm here. Don't trouble yourself. You must do like Peter, who said, no, gentlemen, don't slay yourselves. We are all here. We are still in jail. We have not run away.
Yeah.
You must be like Paul and Silas. Yeah. When they are looking at one another and they look at the chair and they say, brother, what does this mean?
Yeah.
You know, brother. They preach to each other. The other one said, you know, brother, he was crucified for us.
Yeah.
And the other one said, brother, I remember the thorny crown on his head.
Yeah.
They started singing a song. Give me power, my Lord. Give me power. And the power came down. And the power shook the jails. And the power broke the chains. After some time, they brought a soft one. The one that we normally sing. I think that is where it started from. There's an army rising up. And they came to that spot where they to break every chain. The chains were breaking. Some of you can't even sing when there's an affliction. You can't even sing when you buy a new car. It's a pathetic situation. I have to say it for what it is. Myself, I sing when I'm down. I sing when I'm up. I sing when I'm mid-air floating. There's nothing can stop me praising the Lord because he has never changed. There's nothing has replaced him on his throne. He's still there. He has got no replacement. He is the Lord, and besides him, there's none else. The only problem is, have you taken him to be your Lord? You are still Lord of yourself. Too much of yourself is inside of you. Until God is squeezing himself in a certain corner somewhere where at least he can fit in your life. And he would slay, die, the innocent for the guilty. And when God spoke it, it was already confirmed. When God spoke it, now before it can be a word, it has to be a thought. Remember, when God was alone, he had nowhere to put his foot on. He had not created anything. He had a thought in his mind. Unless you are serving a God that is equally as your brother, who is as weak as I am. But if you are serving an eternal God, who is the creator of the heavens and the earth, you know exactly what he is capable of doing. The devil wouldn't make you bow down to anything. You can remind the devil that, mind you, I'm weak, but I'm serving a greater God.
Amen.
I'm poor, but I'm serving a richer God.
Amen.
Yeah. The brothers are preaching with me. Now, before it can be a word, it has to be a thought. For a word is a thought expressed. And then if God in his mind perceived these things, it's good to have a prophet who can tell us what was in the mind of God. Then they were in his mind, and people are trying to change what the prophet told us, because he's telling us what was in God's mind. How can you change what was in God's mind? Then they were in his mind, then he spoke them, then, and they are as good as finished when God speaks. What do you feel, brother Grace, when you are reading that God, when he speaks, it's finished? When he says, I'm the Lord that healeth all thy diseases.
Amen.
And you are still sick. And you will be sick tomorrow again. And next year again. You are even telling people about that sickness. And you are not telling people about the Christ that can save you from the sickness. You can even tell them a better medicine that you are using now. And that becomes your God. Save him all the same if you still love him. I don't like that God you are saving. So I told you, I warned you before. If I'm hitting, I'm just hitting the brother together with the enemy. So that when you are running away, the enemy runs his way because he knows there's trouble. Then I see there is my brother. Then I come and fellowship with you afterwards. They are as good. Those words are as good as finished when God speaks. Because he is infallible and can do nothing else. Then God's attitude, if God saved the sinners back there on the basis of accepting the burnt offering, the sacrifice provided, he has got to do the same thing today.
Yes, sir.
Are you a sinner tonight and you want salvation and you are still battling? Those demons of lust are still following you 10 years after receiving this message. And we just had communion. Some still have got guts to come to the communion, and they still lust after some women out there. We meet what you meet as well. I've had lots of women that have proposed to me that they want to see my wife and speak to her nicely so that we can share. They tell you openly. Some have proposed to buy me a car because they thought I didn't have a car. I told them I've got four, potentially with the other two that are coming. So that I can have two for my wife, and in the case there could be a breakdown when I'm away, and then she can use the other one. You cannot laugh. I'm dealing with cars, so you cannot do what I'm doing. Yeah, I'm dealing with cars. So they come like sweets, those cars, to me, if I want them. Even if they are not good, but they come like sweets. The cars I'm driving now, I never bought any of them from my heart to say I'm going to buy this car. It just happened. There are casualties in my life. I haven't bought any choice of my car. You'll see when the choices come. Those are the other two I'm talking about. So I wouldn't give a woman a chance to buy me a car so that I can be their husband and leave my wife. They want to buy me into that stupidity. Sell my soul for a car. They must know how I came to the Lord. Yeah, especially some of us, my family denied me. So I lost a lot of things. So I cannot put a car in now. I lost family because of this message. And I'm prepared to lose all of them if they are not coming with me. Because I'm praying for them. Because Father, forgive them. They know not what they are doing. How can you bring a car? It's too late. I slept 3 nights. I slept outside. They were saying, I'm not even worthy to go on a bed. They pulled out chairs and pulled out sofas. He cannot even sit on a chair, not even a stool. Because he's telling us he's a Christian now. What will you do with your ancestors? I said, I don't deal with ancestors. I don't even know them. Then, if you want to be fair enough, I told my father, to be fair enough, if you want me to deal with ancestors, bring them here. Because the very God I'm serving, I talk to him every day, and he answers me. So, it's a fair game. If your ancestors are better than the God I'm serving, bring them here. I've got a few questions to ask them. The first question is, what did they leave for me when they left this world? Because my God, when he left here, he left the Holy Ghost for me, and he died for me to cleanse my sin. What have the ancestors done for me? What are your ancestors doing for you? You still go to those manchosi gatherings and bank on them, and you think they are going to save you. If you can't fight them, bring them to us. I will show you how to fight them. Those manchosi is nothing. The Bible tells us clearly that if a man dies, there is no remembrance of the dead. For their habitation is remembered no more. And then you go to their graves and you bring their spirit back home. The only spirit you are bringing is a demon that inhabited them. Because now it is vessel-less. So, by the time you start worshipping your ancestors, you are worshipping the demon that you moved with your ancestor. Because he himself, his mortal body is rotten and his soul is waiting for judgment over yonder. If they never gave their soul to Christ. So, if man comes here, I can tell them a better story of what they are. I know them. I know who they are. They are demons. Amen. Whoever is worshipping man was here, you are in trouble. You are worshipping demons. We don't want to tell you, no, there is a part of God in that. No, there is nothing of God in man. You are worshipping ancestors. You are worshipping the devil. Amen. Full time. Amen. And there is nothing of God. Even if you come to church now, there is nothing of God in this service. When you come, you are just trying luck. Because you favor your man too much. Your ancestors too much, more than this God I'm preaching. If God saved sinners back there on the basis of accepting the burnt offering, the sacrifice provided, he has got to do the same thing today, tonight. Not just today, but today, tonight. Oh, he did wrong when he took the first man in by it. Can God be wrong? If God healed the sick back there upon the basis of the shed blood of an animal, upon the basis of the atonement, he has got to do the same thing today. Or he was wrong when he healed the first person. See, he can't change. Let's go on with it. We grow, we mature, that is us. And in another other message, he said, even birds and animals, they don't grow, they don't mature, they just grow to a stage where their mentalities don't grow further. They are just birds, they are birds. They tried an experiment, put birds in a cage, I think for years and years and ages. Then when they released them, they just went and started building nests.
They thought they would forget. But we, who, I will tell you, I can't drive an Anglia now. I want to buy a Mercedes. Yeah, I want to buy a Mercedes, a CLK 230. I can tell you with the model, because I know there's that kind of a car. There's something that I appreciate about it. You can bring a small car that's got an engine at the back. No. The one that you lift the wheels and then you start cranking. You say, brother, after church, the brothers busy with the car. And the brothers, because I'm going now, once I let these wheels land, I'm just off I go. Those cars were those cars for 1940. Even if I bring it now, you will not even admire it. You will ask, what is this? You won't even say it's a car. We grow, we mature, we find better things, we talk of better things, we wear better clothes, drive a better automobile. We are progressing, but God cannot progress in that way because He was perfect to begin with. And perfection cannot progress anymore. It's already perfection. Amen. So He don't have to say, well, this is a different age. This is what other preachers are telling us now. Another age, we need another messenger. Oh, brother, we are sitting here. We won't go to any other age. This is our age. We have got a better thought now. Because there must be a Joshua wearing a suit like me. The pastor says that some of them, they've got sugar diabetes. They are Joshua and they cannot... They want to take you into the promised land and they are suffering with sugar diabetes. We won't reach Canaan. We won't reach Canaan. We won't get to Canaan. I will tell, hey, brother, deal with your sugar diabetes, then you are strong. Then you can be number one. I can give you the seat to go in front. Or let me deal with your sugar diabetes and then we'll see later who's going to be Joshua. If it is, He can be God. So, whoever is bringing a different thought to what God thought before the world was ever framed, they are making God to be no God. And when God is not God, then you're worshipping idols. Yeah. Are we right there? Yeah. Whoever is telling us otherwise outside of this is worshipping idols. Some of them have even idolized the prophet. Indirectly, they are worshipping the prophet. Boss, don't just listen to anyone that says, Brother Branham said, Brother Branham said, Brother Branham said. Have you become what he said? Yeah. He was not saying those things for naught. We must become the substance of what he said. Yeah. We want to be like that man of the Welsh revival when they said, where is the revival? He said, I am the revival. Yes, praise God, I'm the revival.
Yeah. Amen.
And everyone was astonished. What is this man talking about? The fire was bubbling inside of his heart. Well, whoever preached in those days, he preached enough to let this man receive what was happening. Now people preach to us to receive another man than the message that came. We have got, so he don't have to say, well, this is a different age. We have got a better thought. If it is, he can't be God. So if he is God, what he spoke back there, he has to stay with it. Because he was perfect there and is perfect now. See? You see it? It's not me, I'm reading. Then he can't progress. They are trying to progress God. He can't. Well, I mean he can't embed things. Make this a little, say this would be a little better. God can't do that. He's not going to make this Bible a new Bible. And better it. You know, we are being affected by some of the things that Daniel prophesied. Amen. Messiah lived because there was a prophecy that said his ministry will be cut off. It was written in the book of Daniel. Isaiah prophesied that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. 800 years later, there comes the Christ. What do you tell me about this word? God cannot embed his word. Let's go to Isaiah 53.
I'll wind up with one quotation. We won't read it, but I'll just quote it, and then we'll find somewhere to rest on something for someone who's in need tonight. You must believe as I'm preaching. Don't just look at me and say, brother, yeah, the brother is reading quotations. I'm not reading these quotations for fun. I'm displacing that demon. And I'm preaching so that when you go home, it will be different. You can feel it is different. The word of God cannot be spoken in vain and then you remain in the same situation. No, it cannot be. There's a scripture that I want. Isaiah 53. Are we all there? Let's read it. I'll show you. Whatever problem you have, brother or sister, it's past tense.
Yes, sir.
Even if you don't believe it, when you are going to be raptured, you will see all my problems are vanished. They are gone.
Yeah.
So why don't you take it from that point of view?
Yes, sir.
When the problem approaches, you refer it back to Calvary because on Calvary he said it is finished.
Yes.
Even if you don't agree that it's finished, you are still going to be raptured and your problems will not be anymore. If you believe the millennium, then where is your problem? You are believing the millennium, but you can't believe a scripture that says he's a God who heals all thy diseases. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord God delivers them out of them all. Why are you not being delivered from just one affliction when they are many? There is yet more to come.
Yes, sir.
And you are crying with one. What will you do with the rest? If one makes you cry, then the rest will make you die. And when you die in that state, you are dying hopeless. If you die in a defeated Christian, then what? Where is your hope? You will be scarcely saved. We want to go to heaven marching the victor's march. We want to go and meet Abraham and tell him stories about our victory.
Yes.
We want to share stories about Daniel. When he starts bragging about his lion in the den, what? We say, hey, brother, sit down. Do you know Laodicea? The brother will say, brother, now if you are talking about Laodicea, actually when we chose to live in the ages, we never wanted Laodicea. Because they know the damage that the devil is doing now. Intellectualism. The devil is preaching the message of the hour. No, long time ago you could see the devil using politics and all these things, fighting the believers, killing them and putting them in the arenas. Now he's not doing that anymore. He's starting churches. And then he's got spoken words in the house. It will come to a spot that it will be so identical until it would almost deceive the very elect, if it were possible. We are part of the impossibility of it not happening. That is why we are here tonight. Amen. Isaiah 53. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. This was your grief. He had no reason to come for grief. He took your grief. He was grieving on your part. The wonder of it all is you are still grieving. Everything was taken upon him and you are still wandering with your sin. You must not shame the Holy Ghost to that far post where you can be driven away by just a simple, small demon of lust and then put everything to shame. No. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. I think in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I think, he says we must be afflicted as well. We must suffer with him to reign with him.
Amen.
Suffer with him to reign with him.
The suffering part, nobody likes it. Because when it comes, when time for you to suffer comes, you suffer, real suffer. Even everyone will see the brother is suffering now. And they will be talking about you. Eh? Those that one talks, they will be talking about you. Those that want the WhatsApp chats, they will be sending messages to each other. You know, the brother is now aged. Have you seen the brother nowadays? And everyone has got his portion. Everybody has got his portion.
Yes,
if you are a child of God, when you come to him, you must first be tried and tested.
Yes.
That is why some perished in the wilderness. But he was wounded. I want you to help me. Brother Grace, maybe I'm wrong. Was Christ before Isaiah or Christ came after Isaiah? Why we have was and past tense wounded for our transgressions, was bruised. And when it comes now, what he was bruised for? When it comes now, you, the devil is helping you to see like it's present tense. That is only the only problem that troubles you. It was done already. Whether it is your transgressions, it was done.
Yeah.
If it is your iniquity, it was done.
Yeah.
If it is your peace that you don't have in your home, you don't have peace.
Yeah.
Everything was upon him. If you are sick, they had to beat him until blood came out of him so you can be healed.
Yeah.
But it doesn't say we are healed. It says by his stripes we are healed. But if you go up there, you see it's past tense, past tense, past tense. But it was Isaiah prophesying something that must come to pass. You only learn why Isaiah was writing like this. Because what he was seeing was not what happened on Calvary. He was seeing what John saw in the book of Revelation, where he wrote that, "For the Lamb of God was slain well before the foundation of the world." Which thought are you taking tonight? Are you taking God before the foundation of the world, or you are taking him after the cross? Even if you take him after the cross, then where is your problem?
Yeah.
Why you give muscles to your problem? Why you give muscles to your problem? You cannot allow that. See, you feed your problem until it's so big until you cannot fight it. We're talking to another brother. The brother is deciding to marry in the world. He's telling us, "No, the girl don't want to go." I say, "Brother, close your doors. Who's giving her the keys?" "No, she's sometimes she just lingers around." I told him, brother, you still love that girl. Your problem is you love that girl. You don't love God, you love that girl. You are selling your soul for that girl. Whatever you're going to do, if you don't decide and you go with that girl, you are selling your soul for that girl. And she has nothing to give to you in return. Playing like that, in my WhatsApp was never answered until now. Because we just have to face it head on. The brother is giving me excuses. "No, it's like this, it's like this." The brother loves this girl more than God himself. If I loved God, the time we came to Christ, don't think that there were no girlfriends. We chucked them off like Oskik. And you don't even face where they are falling. Eh? You just give a hefty one. Bah! And you hear the wailing and the crying. And you say, "Away with me. Leave me alone." Then you say, "Lord, what have you to say to me? I was just dealing with this mess. You found me in so much mess. So I was just dealing with some of it. I told you, myself, I give you a testimony. I was a thief, a crook. When I steal from you, I help you to look for your stuff. Until you believe this is the only man that was helping me." And they're even saying, "Ask this man. He was here when the thing was stolen." I said, yeah, I was here. And we looked all over. In the meantime, if his money is in my pocket, then when it's all done, I'm whistling. Now I'm dealing with cars. If I would steal your car now, if I continue, then I would steal your car now. You think you'll find it? The only way you'll find it in Cape Town. Stripped. And the parts sold. And the man eaten. Perhaps with mahoshas too. I'm telling you the truth. This is exactly what I was. I'm not ashamed of that testimony because I had to steal inside the house. 10 cents, 10 rand is gone. And I'm helping to look for it. It's in the pocket. I've already eaten some Zepnex or whatever. From a small age like this. We never used to buy books. We would steal books from the library until they would not even know where these books went. Change the stamps. Put your own stamps. You know how to do the stamps when you are still young, so you know how to make a stamp of your own. And you put a stamp for another school. Say, no, this one I got it from that other school. We knew how to bleach those stamps. Who was giving us all those ideas? And we were so brilliant in school, we passed with those textbooks. We had stolen books. Counterbooks, we were selling counterbooks. Until the matron would say, Wena, it's been the fifth time you're coming to the library requesting these counterbooks. He said, no, but it's finished. This one is for geography. Now I came last time for history. Now I came for the other one for Shona. She's looking at you and say, but this is all lies, man. But let me just give books. Now if he complains, they are not giving me my books. Then afterwards, when I go to the hospital, I said, who wants books? Even if my parents never sent pocket money, I was never struggling. Sometimes here and there, I'm making plans. If I had continued making those plans, being advised by the devil, yeah. Some of you are still wondering, because you are still doing what I'm talking about now, right now. And you say you are a Christian. You give the deacons tough time here. In church. Whatever problem you have, you must count it past tense. When you meet this man, when you meet Melchizedek, tell him this is what I have been. I am looking forward to become something new. Bartimaeus was crying. He said, what can I do for you? He said, yeah, I don't want man. I don't want nothing. I'm fit everywhere, but just my eyes. If he could hear blind Bartimaeus and restore his sight, the only thing you need to do is cry the same way that Bartimaeus cried. Yes. Cry that same cry tonight. You will hear it. If he could hear Mary Magdalene and chase away 7 devils of prostitution. Some of you, maybe you are not prostitution by profession, but by occasion you are. Not occasion though, but occasions. Yes. There's people that just allow men to pass by them and they think they are doing themselves a favor. Because now yesterday they ate pizza, today they want to eat KFC. So whoever buys KFC first is the first one. And you come and sit here and you say, I'm a Christian. I love God. God says I must just come as I am. Yes, you must come as you are, but you must not remain as you are. We are together there. Come as you are, but don't remain as you are. Amen. Yes. It is was, meaning that God has already done it and finished. He cannot speak about a perfect church when you remain in your sins. Amen. In the message, the deep calling to the deep. Paragraph 62 to 64. Brother Brenham says, even if God would come tonight and wear this same suit that I'm wearing, tonight is not Brother Brenham, it's me preaching to you. If I would exchange the suit with Jesus Christ and give him this suit, and you say, yeah, at least today we have seen him in his corporal body. He uses this term, corporal body, which means a fleshly body that he was wearing when he went to Calvary. You can see the wounds. You can see the scars of that crown. You can see everything, the wounds on the feet. And you would say, Lord, at least today I've got a very grand privilege. I've got you today. I see it's not Pastor Madiba, it's not Brother Mpanyana, it's not any one of our deacons, it's not even any one of the ministers preaching. It's you, Lord, face to face. Heal me. But I'm not saying, you know what he would say to you? He would say, I've already done it. And walk away. And I'm fully persuaded he has walked away from many people who have got no faith to believe that he has already done it. Amen. My closing quotation as we pray. Genuine faith knows no defeat. It's already done. It's already over. God said so. That finishes it. You see, God said so. Now it's the same thing. Anytime when you really believe it, that touches him. Calling Jesus on the scene. Paragraph 171. Now that little woman that touched his garment, she said, if I but just only touch his garment. No one had ever done this. It was just a revelation inside of her. Because of the agony, because of the anguish, because of the pain. She said, only if I can touch his garment. It's not very good. Maybe if I'm preaching here, ask one of these sisters to come in front here, touch my trousers. Everybody will say, what is the sister doing now? It was a service he was preaching. But this woman inside her heart, she's saying, if I can only touch just but the border of his garment. I don't want to disturb him from preaching, but I'm going to make sure I touch the hem of his garment. I'll be made whole. And she did it. And when she carried out what her faith wanted her to do, touch it, he felt it. See, he turned around and spoke to her. She was an ill-famed woman, this one. Now, he spoke to her. Now he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you will just believe Christ, believe him, let your faith touch his garment, and he, right now, is the high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. We all know that. And if he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, you will have to act today as he did yesterday. If he is the same high priest, now, won't you believe it? Just have faith in God. Amen. Won't you believe it? Now we are going to walk out of this service and still not believe him. Always remember, paragraph 5, what we are here for is to try to increase your faith in his presence, that you might receive that which you ask for. Then by faith you believe. Now remember, if redemptive blessings has already been purchased, have already been what? Redemptive blessings. Someone had to die on Calvary to bring the blessings to your doorstep. But there is something that you have to do. He has already purchased them. The price is paid, not shall be paid. He is paid the price. He has already paid the full payment of the price. There is only one way that you will ever be able to receive it. Because it is one way. Many of you are trying luck with him. You can't try luck with a bleeding cross. Come the right way. Come straight forward and tell him who you are. Declare your cause. Tell him where you are failing. Some of you just pray and say, Lord, help me, help, help me. Tell him I am faulty, Lord. Here, it's me that made all this nonsense. I was here, from there I went there, and I did all this. This is why I have this thing. Take me out of it, Lord. I'm realizing I made a mess up. I made a mistake here. Some of you can't do it. You just want to pray for blessings. Simple. There's only one way you will ever be able to receive it, is to believe it and to accept it. He is the high priest of our confession. The Hebrew says, the Hebrew letter says, he is the high priest of our profession. To profess and to confess is the same thing, of course. So he is the high priest of our confession. Therefore, he cannot do. You see, when God cannot do anything, you must watch it. Don't think he's just going to feel pity for you. No, he cannot. Sometimes he cannot, brother. You pray and you pray and you pray and he cannot. Let's hear why he cannot. He cannot do for anything for us until we first confess that he has done it. You are confessing that he will do it. He wants you to confess he has done it. Amen. Tell the devil, my God has done it for me. Amen. And the devil will tell you, but I see you are still swollen on the side. You say, no, but it's done already. This is exactly what was done. Amen. I'm talking about this very thing that you are looking at. It was done already. Finished. Calvary. Then God begins to act. Only when you profess that he has already done it, amen, then he can do it. Amen. When you pray believing that you already received the thing you pray for, then you shall have it. Yes, when you pray like it has already been done, it's past tense. But you are still looking forward to receive the thing.
Yes.
But some of you, your faith is vice versa. When you look forward, you say, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think I'm going to make it. I know he has done it, but hey, you are looking forward and you don't see the thing. You must look forward and look at the thing and say, it's there. I'm going to receive it. Then you pray believing. When you believe it's going to be done, then it's going to be done and you will receive it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Confess that he has done it. And then when we confess it, then he is the high priest, a mediator, to go to work on that and make it right. So we pray trusting in God tonight, in his kindness and mercy, that he will give us his abundance of grace tonight. And now remember, you must accept it. You must, it's a must, brother, to accept. It's a must. You have to, it's a must. The message conference says a decision was already made that Christ would come and redeem back his subjects back to him. Christ was going to? Did he come? Is my question. Then are we redeemed? Then if you are redeemed, where is the problem? If we are redeemed, what's redeeming is bringing back the thing that was once lost to its former position. You can't just come to your house and then you find there's no place. You will ask, where is my place? You are saying, Naomi was never going to say, yeah, no, now, Naomi, you see, we brought you back. This is your house. But he was going to say, yeah, I had the house here. You built the house very nice, better than the one I had before. But where is my field? When you bring back that which was lost back to its former position, you are bringing back together with the substance. So when you see some of your substance is not there, your healing is not there, you have to ask for it. When there is blessings short in the home, you can't be able to pay school fees every month, you are struggling. But your children must go to school. What must you do? They must chase them away from school and then you start crying. Say, Lord, I believe and I accept that you have already done this thing for me. And because I believe, I'm praying, Lord, that I might receive it. Because I have to use it. Amen. You have to use it. Don't just carry this Bible and make it a book of fun. Or maybe just to show others that at least you are a Christian. This is not an at least matter. This is a wholesome matter. You must be fully persuaded and be fully convinced and be concerned. You can be convinced but without being concerned. Some of you have come because you are fully convinced, but you are not concerned. Your conduct shows you are not concerned. You don't even have any concern at all with what you say you believe. You have some other things that you believe in outside of this book. One day, all the prophets of Baal were beheaded. But Israel went again and took Baalism again afterwards. When the heads were cut off, all of them, by Elijah. This is exactly what the message people are doing. Elijah of our day came and cut off all the prophets of Baal. A false prophet, you know him even before he started his ministry. The first sermon he preaches, you can tell that one is a false prophet. Why are you so clever like that? You are not clever. You are just looking at the template. The prophet told us, false Christ shall come, false prophets will come. They will try to attempt to use, read Laodicean Church Age. They will try to attempt to use this gift of discernment. But it will bring them to an utter destruction. So when they start doing that, we know. We just place them. Whilst we place them, we keep going forward. We don't look back. Because we are watching the promise. And this God has never changed. He will keep his word. I think of another quotation that says, I'm closing with that one now. Brother Abraham says, if God could have just one little sister that would trust in the promise of God so much and put all her faith in there, even if it would take God to bankrupt the heavens, even if there's billions of angels, and God will make sure the heavens are empty, even all the living creatures, everything that dwells in heaven is emptied out to go and support that sister because there's a scripture that she's standing with. But most believers, they hesitate just to take one scripture. Even sisters just want to dress nicely. It's a hiccup. He's putting his hand here every day. It's almost like it's killing you. You want to go with the fashion of the world. You can't do that and then come to God and ask him. It's pathetic, brothers. May God help us. Amen. Brother, with your microphone, can you help us to sing this song? Where he leads, I will follow. As I hand over to the brother, just sing that song, where he leads. You know it? Sing that for us, brother. God bless you. Where he leads me, I will follow.
Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow.
Appreciate the word. Amen. So many times we end up giving away our victories because when the enemy comes in surrendered, we are so shocked that we surrender ourselves. You come into a yard and there's a little dog and that dog is barking. And the minute you take a step back, that dog charges because that dog saw that this person that entered is actually afraid. And already that dog has the upper hand. So tonight, with the message, go out, face that challenge head on, because the victory is already ours. We are here, our mandate is clear. We are here to enforce the devil's defeat. He comes and he bluffs, he comes and he shouts, but his weapons failed because he put them down. It's now our turn to enforce his defeat. Amen. Thank you, Brother Borrero. I'm just going to ask our Brother Abraham to close the service in a word of prayer, and then we'll gather on Wednesday again. Amen. On Sunday again and Wednesday.
Let's just pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, O God, this evening. We want to thank you, O God, that, Lord, we could be in your house. Lord, O God, Heavenly Father, to hear your word, not to hear, O God, Heavenly Father, the fables of men or the knowledge of men, but, Lord, O God, Heavenly Father, we are hearing from your throne, O God. Heavenly Father, you said, Heavenly Father, when your children gather, you are always there, Heavenly Father, Lord, O God, to come and to speak to them, Lord. And Lord, O God, Heavenly Father, tonight, Heavenly Father, we can testify, O God, that, Lord, we have been helped by this message, O God. We have been strengthened, O God. Because there's many times, O God, Heavenly Father, when we hit a certain place, O God, and we feel like we're not going to make it, O God. But Heavenly Father, Lord, O God, when we come into your house and we hear such word to tell us, O God, that we are fighting a defeated enemy, O God. Lord, O God, how it makes me remember the prophet, O God, Heavenly Father, one time when he was having the stomach pains, O God. And Heavenly Father, Lord, O God, he kept on vomiting the food and he kept on eating it back, O God. Heavenly Father, because there was a power, O God, Heavenly Father, in confession, O God. And Heavenly Father, Lord, O God, tonight we want to walk out of this house and we want to say, Lord, O God, we are not going to fear the enemy anymore, O God. We are going to face him to know that he is defeated, O God. And Heavenly Father, Lord, O God, hell is waiting for him, O God. And Heavenly Father, Lord, O God, we know that, Heavenly Father, with this word, Heavenly Father, Lord, O God, no enemy can stand before us, O God. Heavenly Father, we just want to go out confessing, O God. Heavenly Father, we want to go and stand on the promises of God. Heavenly Father, we want to stand like Abraham, O God, Heavenly Father, though it took 25 years. Heavenly Father, but he kept on testifying because he knew it was a finished work, O God. Heavenly Father, we pray, O God, Heavenly Father, that, Lord, O God, may we go and even, Lord, O God, make this word, Heavenly Father, Lord, O God, Heavenly Father, become, Heavenly Father, part of us, O God. Because when the word becomes part of us, O God, we also become eternal, O God. Heavenly Father, and we, the word, Heavenly Father, as Jesus Christ was not afraid of anything, O God, we can also have that boldness, O God. Heavenly Father, we just want to pray that, Lord, O God, go with us, protect us as we go to our different homes. Heavenly Father, may we keep the fire burning in our hearts. And Heavenly Father, may you even bless the man, the brother, O God, Heavenly Father, that stood in the gap. Heavenly Father, may you restore even the strength, O God, Heavenly Father, and may you bless him, O God. Bless each and everyone, O God, and may you answer our heart's desires and our prayers, O God. Heavenly Father, we can surely say we are going back better than what we came in, Lord. We just pray as you commit all these things into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So tomorrow morning, if you wake up and Goliath is standing before you, have the confidence to know that God has already made a way. That giant that's standing in front of you is a past tense. Amen. Amen. Brother Grace, if you can sing a song for us and then we'll dismiss.
Upageme, 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 oh, unamandla.
la una man cheso una man la cheso una man la una man la una man una man la una man una man la una man una man la una manda so e una ma una manda una ma una manda una manda so una manda una ma makabungwe makabungwe Makabungwe, Jesu, Makabungwe, 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 Makabungwe. Makabongwe, makabo, makabongwe, 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 makabo. You are holy, holy, you are holy, Jesus. You are holy, holy, you are holy, my Lord, you are holy, you are holy, holy, holy. Oh, you are holy. You are holy. You are holy, Jesus. You are holy. Oh, in many, oh, in many, oh, in many, Jesus. Oh, in many.